the internet. The boon of frauds and phonies. Especially when it comes to Sumeria. I'm not going to mention any names here because I'm not trying to bash people, but for those of you who seek the information, I think you're going to find some of this I talk about today rather enlightening. Well, at least historically based anyway. We see a new book, a relatively new book, where it's Conversations with Damu. Let's go back to Sumerian history here. We have Damu, who, in some opinions, is the son of Enki. Now, we know Enki had a rather frivolous life of screwing mortal women, so I think this Damu possibly might be a demigod. Demigod referring to half-god, half-human. However, when we dig deeper into Sumerian history, we see that Damu is a goddess. And when we look at the idea between what the relationship with Damu is and his cult, and I mean cult that formed in a couple cities in Sumeria, we find that he was possibly a vegetation god. Now, was that the same as Ningxeda's father, or which was Ninaru? And he was also a vegetation god. So did this get replaced? Was this changed in a matter of convenience? Well, folks, we're talking about 5,000 years. So a lot of, I guess, tales could change in a 5,000-year period, including names. But male and female, how does that change? How does this Damu change? Another big misconception we see within Sumeria is we see Enki being called Satan. And we see that's strictly a, I guess, Jewish bash back at Enki as a god in elevation of their precious Enlil, the god of Abraham. We see Enki being more of a good-spirited god in one way, but also being rather frivolous in his sexuality, almost being a sexual god, and hating his father, Anu, to the point where they actually alienate themselves from one another. We almost see this in the Zeus story, except that Zeus kills his father, and we don't ever see any evidence of Enki killing his father, but we do see Zeus taking of many lovers and many wives and leading a rather frivolous sexual lifestyle. But we see Enki sometimes appearing somewhat serpent-like, but excuse me, I don't have COVID. The misconception of that is simply because when we look at history, we see the serpent god, or the representative god of serpents, as Ningxeda. And we see Ningxeda appearing in such in many, many tablet depictions as being a man with serpents on his arms, kind of epaulets, almost like a uniform. We also see him assume the form of a bird, as in Ie Thoth, which Ningxeda predates Thoth, in case you didn't know. But anyway, that's another day's story. But we do see the story more of Adam and Eve coming out of the Garden of Eden as the idea of Enki and Ninhursag, their love story, and how they're seeding the new world. So we really kind of see a period of time before the, I guess, Hebrew enslavement. We see a period of time where that story could develop and be told by courtesans and bards and things who would travel along the Silk Road. The story of Enki and Ninhursag was very romantic and very much an eloquent story. Was so other stories that were love stories within the Sumerian realm as well. so respected were the gods at that period of time that their romance was kind of looked over, no matter even if they were fucking around on each other. You know, i.e. in the case of Enki. And we remember when Enki kind of goes and sleeps with someone else, and then Hursag blinds him. And we see this, it's blind temporarily, but we see this also. Remember how Odin was blinded? So, you know, these stories can spawn from one another. But let me tell you a little bit about Ningxeda and what's important about Ningxeda. And I always tell people, here's where Ningxeda evolves into the characterization of Satan. And I'm going to talk about this in depth in the coming days ahead, but it's not Enki that appears as Satan. It's Ningxeda that appears as Satan. Ningxeda, and people go, well, why doesn't he reside in hell? Well, because Ereshkigal resides in the Sumerian equivalent of hell. But again, she would never be given that credit, because the designers of hell are of Catholic origin. So prior to that, only a Hades-like environment occurred, and that would be like a cur. And the cur was described simply as a form of the underworld. And of course, we've seen Ningxeda was killed in the underworld and brought back by Enki. And in favoritism, Enki appointed him sort of a scribe of God, or the most knowledgeable man of God, empowering him with the Tree of Life and Tree of Wisdom. That's why he becomes an important character. See, he doesn't quite have the power to overcome Enki's brother, Enlil, but he's certainly as powerful as any of the triads of the gods. And when we talk about the Anunnaki sometimes, and the Anunnaki means Council of the Gods, look that one up for those of you who don't get it. A lot of people go, the Anunnaki aliens. No. Well, technically, gods could be aliens because they're, you know, come from afar or come from a galaxy and settled upon the Earth. So, I guess. But technically, no. I see that thrown around a lot by novices in the Sumerian studies field. But anyway, going back to the story, we have Ninazu, who is the father of Ningxeda and the god of vegetation. So I'm wondering where Damu becomes the god of vegetation, because Ninazu doesn't fade away. He's not killed. So could he be Damu, or was that just a mistaken in someone's writings? I think it's more a mistaken in someone's writings. I do see some scribbling about this Damu, but we don't know if it's male or female, because remember, sometimes in Sumerian literature, they did not refer to male and female the way that we see it, okay? We see N and two and many other correlations that involve this idea of male and female, and sometimes priest and priestess type situation comes into play. But going back to Enki and the whole scenario there, Enki did do things that we would consider today very inappropriate, I guess, in a way being evil or whatever, but that's all simply Abrahamic pushback. You got to remember, in the Judaic, Christian, Muslim realm, we have the God being isolated as the God of Abraham, i.e. the God that speaks with Abraham, that explains the world, etc., etc., i.e. the same God that speaks to Moses, and etc., etc. But we've got a lot of inconsistencies there, and as I talked about in the first broadcast of this season, we've got many people who are confusing the actual biblical history. And I'm going to talk more about the biblical history and how that plays a role in the evolution forward and backwards of both Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And this is important, because for you to understand this in a historical sense allows you to bridge the gap of your questions you might have. Like, why are there many gods versus just that one God of Abraham? Why is it that people kind of like follow other gods in and I guess in a path of paganism. But remember, paganism is a Christian term, so when people consider themselves pagans, sometimes I look at them and go, why are you using a Christian terminology? Because each god or goddess, as they go back further in time than the gods of Abraham or the god of Abraham, which would be Enlil, same as Allah, but that same god, if we go back further in time backwards, we see that there were many gods and goddesses, and those gods and goddesses interacted and had children, and this confusing scale will cause a lot of people to be confused. So I recommend that you look up a peer-reviewed expert document to trace children before you just make assumptions of who's who. But Ningxia would be more God's scribe. So if that were true, which I believe it's true, and some other historians believe it's true, we see the evolution of Thoth, we see the evolution of forward, actually. We see the evolution of the situation in the Bible, in the Abrahamic idea of Metatron, or there's a great possibility, and I'm saying this because I'm not trying to come off like I'm just the know-it-all here, but we see that Ezra might have lied when Ezra spoke in the book of Enoch of, well, Metatron is not Enoch, and Enoch is not Metatron, but Enoch has afforded the great, tour of the world by God. And we see Satan and Satan's relationship with God, rather an elevated relationship. I mean, God asking him, what are you doing? And Satan going, just traveling the world to and fro. Many, many things. Challenging one another. Different types of factors come in. But we also see some evidence that Ningxia connects with Satan. Enoch connects with Satan. Thoth connects with Satan. The Tree of Life, Wisdom, and many other things that I'll cover in the days ahead all connect to Satan. Ultimately, you're all trying to go, well, I want to see who Satan is. Who's Satan? I just refer to him as Satan. I like that name, but there are many other names that are appropriate. But one of the things we also see is some things where there's kind of blurred lines between Anini, Inanna, Ishtar. There's some personality changes that are changed with the evolution of the goddess, okay? And the interaction of the goddess and who the goddess is in comparative to Ereshkigal. So we see some confusion, some blurred lines, people creating the wrong god or goddess, when in essence the prime goddess, based on interactions with both gods and humanity, would be Ninhursag. And we can view Ninhursag as a much older goddess, and of course later the wife of Enki, but also the previous wife of Enlil. So the brothers shared a common denominator. They both were married to Ninhursag. And Ninhursag was nothing to be toyed with. And I think that, you know, when she spoke of never again Enki, she could have been speaking of the flood she could have been speaking of the flood and speaking about Enlil, because she hated the idea that Enlil had caused the flood and killed people, you know, and killed young children. Because Ninhursag was kind of like very much akin to the children, actually protecting the children in some cases. And if we use the goddess narrative of going backwards, she would have brought forth the, which a lot of people will see, you know, would have brought forth the construct that would attack what would be equivalent to the dog man or the hyena man character. And that would be most as Pazuzu. And a lot of people talk about Pazuzu in confusion because they see Pazuzu in the Exorcist characterization. You know, you see his statues, what's left at the that the ISIL people had not taken down or destroyed in their swath through northern parts of Iraq, where a lot of people understood that this fertility symbol, not necessarily a god, the fertility symbol creature or construct of possibly Ninhursag, and I'm saying possibly because Ninhursag speaks that she would have had a hand in it as well, kind of protects children versus the other construct of Enlil. So you almost see the argument between the two in this. So, I mean, there's so much confusion. I'm going to try to level that out and help the listeners to try to understand this, not based necessarily on my opinion, but based on a historical curve. And I'm not trying to come off as a know-it-all, but I'm just going to assist you in kind of moving forward and kind of learning in this regard. And I think that's important. But, as far as people communicating, I communicate all the time with the deities of Sumer. Simply the ones I'm centered on, in my path anyway. And they're not somebody that will just sit down and have a conversation with you. They'll send you symbolic, visions, symbolic, I call it symbolic, but almost like a vision statement or a vision that will guide you. And I'm not going to sit here and try to explain every one of these. I'm going to explain them as a whole show segment in the days ahead and how I interpret them and how I receive them. So you can get a feel for what, as you become an arsonist, maybe you will figure out how you can receive the signals. It's very much like a cell phone. You have to be listening when the call comes in, or you won't know who's on the other line. Same thing occurs. And I'll be talking a little bit in the days ahead how to enhance that connector. And it's not done by, doing a million rituals or killing a cow or any of these things. It's done by repetition and done by perseverance and done by opening your mind and listening what's around you. Kind of an environment checkup. But anyway, onward we go, and I will talk to you soon. I have probably about 40 different segments coming, all involving Sumeria over the next few months. And I welcome you to continue to tune in and share my information. And the days ahead, I've got some interesting revelations about the god known as Satan as well. So, thanks for listening today. Like and share if you can. Thank you.